Welcome to the Aspire Community Church podcast. Join us today as we explore biblical insights for demonstrating the love of God. We pray this message brings you encouragement. You can visit us online at aspirecc.com or follow us on social media at aspireccva. Now on to today's message.
We're talking about still the presence of God. I saw this week, I was watching, sometimes I watch little videos on Instagram, YouTube. They have these little videos that show roll. And you gotta be careful watching them, because whatever you start watching, you get a whole bunch of floods of other things that kind of follow. But this one kind of caught my eye. And it was a video of a woman that was asking a gentleman a question. And she said to him, she said, there were two wolves who were constantly fighting. They were in constant battle with each other. The one wolf was darkness and evil. The other wolf was love and light. Then she asked him this question. She said, which wolf wins? Which wolf wins? I see a hand. I'm going to ask the question. I said, wait. Thank you for your input. I'm going to ask you. You're going to be the first one. Let me get it out. So there's two wolves. One, darkness and evil. The other one, Olivia, love and light. Which one, Olivia, wins? Love and light. All right, I got one for love and light. Anybody else?
I second.
All right, Lori, you, if you know the answers, you can't participate. All right.
I say love and light because of the finished work of Jesus.
Good answer. Did you have a hand up? You was getting ready to go.
I have an opinion.
Your opinion? Yes, sir.
Who wins where?
Good question. Who wins the fight? There's a constant battle between the two.
Right. So we know that the world is not all about. So I would say that love and light wins at the end, but maybe not here.
Okay. So it doesn't win here. This is not our home.
So it depends on what is defined as victory. Victory is the earth.
All right. So that helps me go to the next one. I like that. Anybody else want to contribute before we go further? I was looking at this. And I said, okay, this is really interesting. Immediately, I could tell you, but I'm not going to tell you, just based off of what you just offered. Maybe somebody makes, I know we might have a person or two online. I don't know if they have any offering about what they might want to say. Anybody? Which one?
Lisa says some days good wins and some days evil wins.
Some days good win, some days evil win. So as I was probing, looking, I found this same quote again online, and it was presented differently, and it was let me read that part to you, and then we're going to look at it again. All right, it was an old Cherokee. He was teaching his grandson about life. So there's another word there, life. And he said, an old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. A fight is going on inside me, he said to the boy. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. The evil one is anger, envy. The anger, the one wolf is sorrow and regret, greed and arrogance. Self-pity. The one wolf is guilty, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride. Listen to these last two, superiority and ego. ego. So that's the one wolf. He continued, he said, the other wolf is good. And he is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on, he said to the little boy, inside of you. In fact, it's inside of every other person too. So does that alter your thought a little bit? Who wins? So when you look at it that way, who wins? He said, now you're talking about in life. So not necessarily the world, but life. Who wins? Who wins that you got two wolves that's going on the inside? Cash, who wins? He said, why me? Who do you think wins?
It's up to your decision.
Up to your decision. All right.
Some decisions. Some people make some decisions. Some be darkness and evil.
Some days it's darkness.
It's just so much going on out here, you know, where some people have just decided that that's what they make. And we need to be honest with that.
Yeah.
So that we know who are.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
That teenager that came up missing in November and they found him out in Colonial Heights last week. Mm. You know, and then unfortunately the young 6-year-old, the child's teacher.
Mm. Yes, yes.
So I mean it's a lot going on. So who wins, that's what we did for. You know, we have to fight for ours and hopefully get some never switch sides.
The grandson thought about it for a moment. Then he asked his grandfather this question. He asked him the question, which wolf wins? That's what he asked his grandfather. The old Cherokee simply replied this, the one you feed the most. The one you feed the most. Think about that. The strongest one wins. The one you feed, you give the most attention to, wins. Immediately after I read it from the video, I watched the lady asking the gentleman the video. And in the video, the gentleman said, the one you feed the most. It makes sense, right? It makes sense. Immediately, my mind, I could hear within my spirit, the questions. It's, and went like this. There are two people in you, Stefan. He said, one of them is focused on darkness and evil. He said, the other one's focused on love and light. And he asked me that question, which one is winning? Which one's winning? This kind of like raises the evaluation question, right? All of us begin to evaluate our own selves. Which one's winning in me? I begin to evaluate, where do I spend most of my time? Where do I spend most of my time? Because where I spend most of my time will determine which wolf in me is winning. Is winning. I thought about it. I thought about it. There's a passage of scripture in Psalms 51 and 5. Psalms 51 and 5. And it reads differently if you depending on what version you read. But this one right here, the New Living Translation, it says, for I was born a sinner. All of us are born sinners. You know that, right? That's that dark side. That's that evil side. He says, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. I think another version says, in sin, where he says, I was born into sin, shaped by iniquity. At least that's the way that is in my mind. I don't know if it's really worded that way, but it's born into it. Shaped by it. All of us been shaped by this world. We've been shaped by the sin that goes on in this world. Which one in you, let me ask you this. Well, which one are you feeding the most? Interesting, huh? Mm-hmm. You know what? I can apply this to so many different things. You think about the young man that wants to play a professional ball, right? You have two young men that want to play professional ball. I remember telling my son recently, I said, Stephon, you are a great football player. You're a great football player. My son was pretty good. But at the time, he was about 6 foot. Going into high school, 185 pounds. You know, they were already looking at him. And he was starter as a freshman. You know, he was doing pretty good. But the problem my son had, I told him this. I said, you were too kind. You can't play football and be kind. You gotta dig a little bit deeper into a place that he just was never good. He was always satisfied with the one good hit. Then he was done. I watched him one time chase this guy down. The boy was running, but he was so focused on getting this guy, he chased him down, tackled him, and then he was done for the game. Yeah, I got my hit in. So many of us are like that. You're good for the one good hit. Right. But then you have this other person, they in it for the long haul. They're grinding it out. There's something about them that allows them, that causes them to go deeper. Why? They want to become better at their skill set and better at that part of them so they can get to the next level. And then when you get on that next level, you find out that there are other people there just as equally good as you are. And then you find yourself, I got to dig a little bit deeper. I got to go, I got to become stronger. My mind, I got to become more focused. Which one are you feeding? So the athlete that want to get to that pro level, he's feeding himself in that space. You want to be the top of your class. The time you spend studying. That's the thing that feeds you. So I was telling you about that passage 51, because I want you to see that, you know, we already inundated with a bunch of sin. All you got to do, walk outside. We're in this world. It's constantly feeding us. What we do, my phone's over there, when we turn on the television or we scroll on that screen, there's something always feeding that other side. Isn't it something always feeding you? Wherever you go. But if we have ever said to the Lord, I desire to serve you, how much time are you spending with it? I'm not suggesting that you got to have this enormous amount of time, but this is saying there's two people inside of us. Two people. This is the reason why I said last week that we want to be in the presence of God. This is the reason why I suggest that, you know, we need to find, and then when you find it, you need to, you know, dwell in it, and then not only just dwell in it, but remain in it. You want to stay there. You want to stay in the presence of God, because when you are in the presence of God, you find that your life is out of balance. It's out of balance. I want to take you to the scripture that we had last week, and that's Psalm 16, because it becomes like the foundation for this, the presence of God. There are three things that you would get in the presence of God. Three things. And I highlighted it so that we can all clear, you know, it could be clear. He says this, and the writer. And you know, typically they said you need to read the verses above it, you need to read the verses below it. I want to pull this one out. Can I just do that for today? And I want to focus in on this, because this writer was saying here, he says, he's talking to the Lord, you will show me the path of life. In the presence of God, he shows you your life. He shows you your path. If you have any questions about it, all you need to do is just stay in his presence. He also goes on to say, he says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Joy. You ever struggle with that? Despondency. You know, sometimes you're up high on the roller coaster of life, and then you find yourself swooping down into the valley of despair. He goes on and he says, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is our aim. This is what we're shooting for. What are we shooting for? Oh, I want to be in his presence. Because in his presence, I know he's going to tell me the path of my life. I don't need to sweat it out. I don't need that. In his presence, I got this calm about me. It's something about an inner joy. The guys on the job years ago at Hershey, they used to wear me out. They didn't know that they were frustrating. But because I was the Christian in the group, they did everything possible. And they just couldn't understand, how can I just maintain my same demeanor no matter what they did to me? I used to tell them, I said, because I got God. He already told me. This was a male environment. So what everything I'm getting ready to tell you may not necessarily be the truth, and it may not be kind. But I used to tell them, I know y'all crazy. I used to tell them, y'all sick, and y'all need Jesus. I used to tell them all kinds of stuff, right? But they would do whatever they could do. I told you about the time they just loaded my whole locker up with all of the girly pictures. And they could, I said, y'all foolish. Y'all need to grow up. This is what we need to know, that this is our aim. What's our aim? To be in his presence, oh God. And why is this important? Because your personality is shaped by the one you are feeding the most. Think about that. Our character is shaped by the influences that we allow to reside in us the most. What's influencing your life? What are you allowing to come in and shape you by? Your attitude, your disposition. I remember as I was growing up, I used to have such a bad way against white people. If I'm just honest with you, because of how I was brought up, my mindset, you know what? And as I got older, I found out that not all white people are bad. Mm-mm, they're not. I realized that we live in a world of sin. That's what I realized. You know, I understand that there might be a mindset that they have toward people of color or even black men particularly, but I had to be real honest. I wouldn't be where I'm at today if God would not have sent certain white people in my path. So they can't be all bad, right? So, but the question is, where do you spend most of your time? Where are you spending your time? Is it anxiety or assurance? Yeah. So you know what anxiety says? Anxiety, it highlights the worry that you struggle with within. It worries about, is this going to work out? Is that going to work out? Every day you can get down and pray and you can seek the Lord. And when you get up, you're still in a space of anxiety. Or are you in assurance? And the assurance is knowing what God has said to you when you were spending time in his presence. What did he say to you? Remember when he said that he would never leave you nor forsake you? Remember when he told you, you know, how much he loved you, that he died on the cross for you? And here's the thing, whatever that thing is that we rehearse in our mind, that's the thing that we're feeding our spirit. If you rehearse what God's word says, if we're rehearsing what God's word says, then we're feeding that good man. So, you know, according to this description here, he gave us a good and evil. That's what he pretty much gave us. He gave us the purse or the wolf that was following along all of the godly traits that we would love to have. Joy, peace, hope, all of the godly traits. But then there's that other side. And you know what? All of us have that other side. Come on now. We're lying if we don't have another side. You know you're lying if you don't have that other side. Did I use that word? I usually don't use that word too much. But the truth of the matter is, no, I've been kind all my life. That was a lie. Everybody say hallelujah. All right, thank you. What are you feeding? Are you feeding fear? Or are you feeding faith? Fear says, I'm afraid that things are not going to work out. It says that there's an impending danger or a possible harm that I do not want to encounter. I don't want to be subject to it. I just don't. I don't know the outcome, but wait a minute. You spent time with God. And he revealed to you his path, your path. Didn't he do that? Remember when you was in the presence of God? That's what the scripture said. He says, look, in his presence is fullness of joy. And that is at his right hand is for his pleasures forevermore. While you were there, you were inquiring of the Lord. And he should have been, or at least I'm sure he has. A lot of times we just don't listen. Him tell us what we need to tell us. He might have said, hey, you know that in Hebrews 1:1, what did he say? Now faith is the assurance, that's that other version, of things hoped for. Now faith is the assurance, the confidence of knowing. I'm walking out the house today. Why? Because I spent time with the King. And he has assured me that all things are going to work out all right. Hello, somebody. He said the convictions of things hoped for. And you know what? Convictions. If your conviction is for God, then that's the thing that you're feeding the most. Right? That's the thing that, you know, everything that surrounds you trying to get into his presence, that's what you're feeding yourself. That's what you're giving yourself. Every morning when I wake up, you know, you say, okay, Lord, you know, you just immediately start having a conversation with the King. Hello. So how do we balance? How do I balance my life? And how do I determine who wins this battle within me? I'm going to tell you again, the way that you do that, you have to stay in his presence. I want to take you to a passage of scripture. Let's look at what God's word says. I know I've already given you some, but let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Halfway through, almost done. Everybody with me so far? Y'all mighty quiet today. Amen. The truth of the matter is there's two people living on the inside. It's always a constant battle. Always. Oh, let me kind of go back. It says this, 4 and 6. He says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, let me read that again. Be anxious for nothing, but in some things. That's what it says, right? Just some things by prayer and supplication. Just periodically by prayer. He didn't say that, does it? He said, in everything. So tell me, what is everything? Everything is all. He says, be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Why? You've spent time with the King. You've been in his presence. And he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. There it is. How do we spend time with the King? By prayer and supplication. How do you spend time? You spend time with him through prayer. Constant communication with God. You're constantly having this conversation with him. You're going to him and you're supplicating. You're telling him all about your problems. He'll hear your faintest cry. You know what he does? And he answers by and by. What they used to say, have a little talk with Jesus. That's all you're doing. When you wake up in the morning, you know, some people might say, oh, it's so tough. I got this. Immediately, some people, they wake up and they look at their calendar. Oh, no, I got to test the day on my job. I got to meet 10 people in a meeting. Immediately your mind started going to those things that you're feeding, which is external. And you forget that the one thing that you need to feed is internal. And that's your spirit that you have with God. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Supplication. He said by prayer and supplication. You know how you do that? With thanksgiving. You can't do that begrudgingly. You have to do that with a cheerful heart. Lord, I'm so excited about coming to you today. You know, did I tell you what happened last night? Like, you don't already know. Oh, child, we were together and the Lord blessed me. I mean, it was you, Lord. It was you. You blessed me. He said, with thanksgiving, he said, let your request be made known to God. How do we do it? By prayer and supplication. I'm staying there because there's a point that I want you to hear. How do you get in the presence of God? You got to spend a lot of time talking with Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your problem. He'll hear your faintest cry. He'll answer you by and by. A little old school. And you know what happens after you've done all of that? He says, and the peace of God. There it is right there. What? The presence of God. The presence of God, which surpasses everything that you worried about. Everything that you are contemplating and the unsurety of, after you have poured it all out to God, you know that you're in the presence of God because the peace of God has come over you. He said it will surpass all your understanding. And guess what else it would do? It would guard your heart and mind because he knows that that's where the enemy attacks the most. Your emotions, your feelings, what goes on up here. What do they say? You know, what do they say? 8 inches, right? Head to heart. 18 inches, right? A lot of times it just gets stuck right here in the mind, in the thoughts. But soon as it moves to the heart, the enemy got you. If he can get you to believe the lie that was been told to you, that you ain't this and you ain't that and you ain't the other thing, even though God has told you already that you are a child of the King, yet it's amazing how there are so many things out here to support what the enemy tells you. I call him the enemy. Is that all right? You got mighty quiet today. I just want to tell you a little bit more. Let's read a little bit more. Here's what else we can do. And you've heard this before. It says, finally, brother, finally. He's referring to the sisters as well. Listen to this real good. He says, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just and pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if they're is any virtue, and I love this part, if there is anything praiseworthy, what are you supposed to do with it? Meditate. So how do you stay in the presence of God? You're meditating on the praiseworthiness of the true, of that thing that is true. You're meditating on the praiseworthiness of that thing that's noble. All day long, you're meditating on the things that is just, the praiseworthiness of the just thing that goes on in your life. Look, you're going to see a lot of things that are not just, but that's okay. He just wants you to just concentrate on the praiseworthiness of the things that are pure. You know the things that are pure. You know the things that are just. You already know. We were brought up with certain morals and values. We know these things. He said, the things that are lovely, look, right there alone is enough to just sit back and just give God praise. Oh, that is so awesome. Look at what God is doing. Amen. Meditate on these things. And then the writer says this, and these things, the things, Paul, he was telling him, he said, the things that you've learned and received and heard and sought in me, Paul is talking about him. He said, these do, and the God of peace. Listen, I know that we're always looking to somebody else. I'm doing my best to be as loving as I possibly can. Doing my best to just follow those things, follow those things. How do I, look, I know that if we could just do this, amen, that the peace of God will follow us. It will be with us. Right there was a good point to say, amen. Peace, 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 peace. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about the presence of God. How do you get there? You get there when you have surrendered yourself to the idea that God is with you, and you know he's with you if he gives you peace. I made a declaration one day. I was at the job. I made a declaration. I said, you know, I want my house to be a house of peace. And I believe the Lord has blessed us. We've always had a peaceful house. Would you agree, wife? Amen. Ooh, that was good. We've always had a peaceful house. I mean, and it would happen. One time we had a gentleman, a pastor, had come to our home from South Africa. He took two steps into the middle of our door, and he began to prophesy. And he was saying, oh, how this house is a house of peace. I was amazed. I was just standing there in awe. And he began to prophesy upon us and our home. I was like, wow, I guess this is a house of peace. It was so peaceful. And there wasn't, that wasn't the only thing. We used to have people come in our home. The one lady, she used to come in. She didn't even go to our own home. She would come in. You probably heard me say this before. She would situate herself in the corner of the couch, kick her shoes off, and pull her feet up on the couch. You know, like, you know how y'all know how to, you know, just bundle up into a little ball, ladies. And the kids would bring her some warm milk. And I think we had some crimpets. Y'all know what a crimpet is? Tasty cake crimpet. So warm milk and a crimpet. And she would eat that, and then she would go to sleep. She wouldn't even go home. Every day she would come to our house. Am I lying? She would do this. She said, it's a peaceful home. Peaceful. People come in. I told my friend, Abe. I said, Abe, I said, our house is a house of peace. He said, nah. I said, Abe, listen, I got an invisible moat around my house now. If you come trying to bring chaos, I got a trap door that will automatically open up and drop you down into the invisible moat where the invisible alligators are going to eat you up. You can't come to my house causing chaos. You just can't do it. And he was a very, very controversial guy. He will always have conflict, always looking to beat somebody up. We were good friends. I think my wife will find that to be amusing. Peace. What's your house like? What are you feeding yourself? When you go home, is it a place of peace? Is the peace, does the peace of God dwell there? Does he dwell there? Does he dwell there? All right, that's enough. So what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to do, how do you get there? How do you get to this place of the presence of God? How do you get there? There's one thing, I only give you one assignment that I'm asking you to consider. And if you can, to move past wherever you are and do this one thing right here, that is seek the face of God. Seek the face of God. Seek the face of God. There's something that I've noticed in our culture and among the church, particularly when we were growing up in the church. There's something that it's been a practice, and I've heard many pastors do it, and we just do it. We just do it, and I don't think we really realize how lopsided it really is. Normally what happens is we teach people how to seek the hand of God over the face of God. What do I mean by that? So, you know, we've been bombarded with scriptures of just to believe what God can do for you. What is it? Romans 8:28. Anybody know what it says? All things, right, work together for the good. That's all that we get in our mind. We get the prosperity of that. All things are going to work together for the good. But sometimes we forget to continue to read what else he said. If somebody get that scripture for me, right? Romans 8:28. Somebody else get 7 and 7. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7 says this. Here's another scripture they used to give us all the time. It says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open to you. That's all we hear. The blessings of God are available to you. All you have to do is ask and the Lord will bless you. But we forget that there are some conditions attached to many of those things. So you got to Romans 8:28? You got it? What else is that?
It reads, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to.
So we forget about that part, that those that love God and who are called according to his, not our purpose, but his purpose, right? Amen. We forget about those, that little caveat right there. First of all, how much do you love God? When was the last time you even talked to him? But you need God right now. And I'm in need, Lord. I'm in need of you right now. I need you, Jesus. My grandmother told me that if I call on you, but you haven't. You calling on grandma's God. You don't even have a God of your own that you're calling on. John 14:14 says, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will give you. We're teaching people to seek the hand of God. And what we haven't done is caused them to spend some time and seek the face of God. Why is that important? Because you will find that if you study the scriptures, those who sought the face of God were people who clearly understood their path. They understood their relationship with him. They had such an intimate relationship. And you know, David was one of them, right? He really understood God in a way that it seemed like, well, how can he ask certain things? In Psalm 27:7, he says,
He says this. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." David is talking to the Lord. He said, "Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, God, to me, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face I will seek." And then he told God this. He says, "Don't hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have helped me. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation." Can one of you do that together? Look, God, don't turn your face away from me. Hey, unless you've spent some time with him. Unless you have spent some time with him. Moses said to God, he says, "Now, if you do that," he says, "don't, you can't kill these people." He said, "What are other people going to think?" Only a person that spent time with the individual have access to say pretty much whatever they need to say, humbly. So I'm saying to you, look, if we can get anything out of this 714, this is what I would like for you to get. I'd like for you to get the ability to seek the face of God. It's a little more intimate than it is just seeking the hand of God. Listen, if you spend time with an individual, you get to know what their needs are. And so when you come to the Lord, he already has eyesight on what your needs are anyway. How do you know he's not going to open up the doors of heaven and bless you? How do you know that he don't spend time with you in that space? In that space. Seek. What do I need you to do? I need you to seek the face of God. Seeking the face of God will bring you into the presence of God. Look, anytime I was thinking about my wife, I was, when you're in that courtship thing, you just want to see him. You know, you be on the phone back in the day, y'all probably don't know about this. You had to put quarters in the machine. You know anybody think about it? You know about that? You had to dial up with your finger. We had do. We had the little thing that turned. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Operator, can you call someone? So I go and I had to get all my quarters, and I go up to the corner store in the payphone and I drop them in just to talk to Lori. And then the lady would tell me, "You got 10 minutes left. You're looking for more quarters. All right, I think this is it. You hang up first." No, you hang up first. All I wanted to do was just seek the face of Lori. Just spend some time. I want to hear your voice. I just want to hear a voice. Oh, I just want to hear a voice. How many of you do God like that? So, in closing, I usually ask the question, what if? But today I'm asking, which wolf in you is winning? Which one are you feeding the most? Which one is winning? When you have been feeding the bad habit part of you year after year after year, I get it. It's tough to just cut them off, right? It's tough to cut off coffee. I want to cut them off real bad, but it's tough. It's been tough. My supervisor get on me. She said, "Stefan, I see that Coke on your desk." I said, "Oh, you wasn't supposed to see that." What's that thing that you keep feeding that you know that you need to cut it off? Right? What is it? What is that thing? Because you know when you cut off that bad habit, you're starting something new. And that thing that you're going to start that's new is a whole new discipline. That means you're training yourself. It's a whole new discipline. And you want to do this new discipline until it's no longer tough, but it becomes a desire. You want to move it from discipline to desire. Again, that's what the athletes do. The one guy was saying he got traded to the Lakers. And he says, "Okay, I'm here. I'm going to show a good thing." He said, "I'm going to get up early. And I'm going to get up early, make sure I make it to the gym early," right? And he said he had got downstairs in the hotel, and Kobe was already down there sitting in the chair, fully drenched in sweat. And he said it dawned on him. He said, not only is he up before I am, but he's already fully drenched in sweat. That means he done already worked out. What hour of the day did he get up? I had a coworker who wanted to lose weight. And so he decided that he would start running. And I remember this young man,
And I remember when he started. So Hershey had this big comp campus, and we used to go over to the gym where they had this track. So he used to go over there for lunch and things and run, but then he would run the street sometimes. You would see him. And when he started out, he wanted to lose weight. It was a struggle. It wasn't pretty. That young man was struggling. It was like, I don't think he's gonna make it. I just don't think he's gonna make it. But he kept at it. He kept at it. He kept at it so much until he dropped almost over 100 pounds. And he was just as skinny as I was. At that time, I was averaging about 138 pounds. I couldn't get a pound. I'm sorry, 142 pounds. I couldn't get past 142 until the accident on my back. And then they gave me steroids and then I blew up. But that young man was so skinny. And he told me, I'll never forget him. We had a conversation. He told me, I feel different when I don't run. Something inside of me is compelling me. Look, you haven't ran today. So he gets up and he goes running. He said, it's like I can't not run. Does that make sense? I can't not run. Are there moments when you can't not pray? Think about it. I thought about that myself. I was like, woo. Yeah, in other words, can you get up in the morning and get dressed and then roll out of the house and you didn't even say hello? Good morning, Jesus. Something is calling you. Something down on the inside. Is it calling you to prayer? Is it calling you to read his word? Are there any moments when you can't not open up the word of God and to see, Lord, what are you saying to me today? Is there a possibility that you can go throughout the whole day and you've never even opened up the Bible or get your biblical app and see, Lord, what is it that you're saying to me today? But we say we love the Lord. Are there moments when you simply, down on the inside, you can hear the Spirit of God singing a song on the inside of you? You ever had those moments? You know, I hear him all the time. He says, I need thee, oh, I need thee. I need thee. Oh, bless. Sometimes you need the Lord to bless you, right? Bless me now, Lord.
We have in Jesus.
Ooh. I come to you.
All our sins and griefs to bear.